From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica Radio stations and affiliates nationwide. As the one-year anniversary of the coronavirus pandemic this week marks a grim tally of deaths in the U.S. and internationally, it seems hard to imagine that there is an end in sight. But several promising vaccines with high efficacy rates offer a glimpse of ending the pandemic. So far, about 300 million vaccine doses have been dispensed in more than 100 countries. But demand is far higher than supply. In the US, which is among the hardest hit nations and which has the highest death toll internationally, the vaccination rate has jumped, and President Joe Biden has taken steps to force pharmaceutical companies to deliver vaccines faster. But has he gone far enough? Several international human rights organizations, including Amnesty International and Oxfam, are demanding what they call a people's vaccine. My guest is Joanne Lin. She directs the Amnesty International USA Advocacy and Government Affairs Department. Welcome to the program, Joanne.
Lovely to be with you, Sonali. Thank you.
So first, let's talk about the United States and the links between how the vaccine was developed and the money, because that's a big part of the conversation. Is it fair to say that companies like Moderna, especially BioNTech, AstraZeneca, received tax dollars to develop their vaccines, their COVID-19 vaccines, in this expedited time frame, that they didn't just reach into their own stockpiles of money and risk their own money, they got tax dollars to do it?
Yes. So, Sonali, you're correct. In 2020, the Trump administration provided billions of dollars in upfront payments, clinical trial support, and guaranteed purchase so that U.S. pharmaceutical companies producing these critical COVID products would not have to bear the entire risk.
So now these companies, BioNTech, Pfizer, although BioNTech, I believe, is a German company, but Pfizer, Moderna, Johnson & Johnson have the patents. They own the patents to the vaccines that were funded by tax dollars. They're being paid for those vaccines that they develop. Is the reason why supplies of vaccines are still so limited because they're holding on to vaccine patents? Or is there another reason for the slowness of producing vaccines?
Well, I think there are multiple reasons. I mean, obviously, the demand far exceeds the supply. Then a major contributing factor is that the wealthy nations of the world, including the United States, Canada, EU, Israel, have been buying many times the supply necessary. Like in the United States, our government has purchased enough vaccine doses to immunize our entire populace three times over. So while this type of vaccine hoarding is taking place, you have other countries, primarily in the global south, lower income countries, that have not been able to compete on this world market and have not been able to purchase these vaccine doses. So it's a situation where we have the global north, which is overwhelmingly the United States, Canada, Japan, and EU, countries that also happen to be home to the major drug pharmaceutical companies. They have adequate vaccine supply, but then the lower income countries in the global south do not have adequate supply and are likely going to have to wait multiple years before they receive vaccines to immunize their population.
Now, for an American who's waiting to get vaccinated, how do you respond to this notion that, from their perspective, even the U.S. doesn't have adequate vaccine supplies?
I understand the concerns. We all have, you know, family members, neighbors, colleagues who are anxiously waiting the supply and waiting their turn to get vaccinated. And the president has announced a plan that, if all proceeds as planned, the entire American population should be vaccinated by this summer, with priority given to those most at risk, whether by age or pre-existing health condition or other external factors. So that's proceeding as planned. But even if you look at this strictly from the perspective of the United States, we have seen virus variations emerge from the UK and from South Africa. And as these variants emerge, they will continue to pose health risks to Americans. So even if we adopted this approach of America first or America only, that is not going to keep us safe in the long run.
Right. Unless you close all international borders, no country can really keep itself safe if there are other countries where the vaccination effort is going to be delayed by years.
That's correct. If there's one thing this pandemic has taught us, it's that a global pandemic demands a global solution, which in turn requires global coordination and global solidarity.
Another sort of devil's advocate approach, if other countries got access to patents and the information, the recipes, if you will, for the vaccines, that doesn't have to impact vaccine supplies to the U.S., right? Associated Press, about a couple of weeks ago, did an investigation saying that they found factories on three continents whose owners say they could start producing hundreds of millions of COVID vaccines on short notice if only they had the blueprints and technical know-how. It's not as though all countries have to rely on this handful of pharmaceutical companies to make the vaccines and have access to them. If those companies shared the know-how, you could have other companies produce the same vaccines for other countries, right?
So Nali, you've nailed the issue, and this is the issue that's actually before the World Trade Organization, the TRIPS Council this very week. So there is a waiver that has been proposed by the governments of India and South Africa since October, which is widely supported by much of the developing world. And this waiver would be a temporary waiver that would waive the global intellectual property rights. And the reason that approving that waiver and agreeing to that waiver is critical is because of what you just exactly outlined, that there are manufacturers in other parts of the world that do not have access to the know-how and the patents for this COVID vaccine. But if they were given access to that, if US and other drug makers share that information, there are companies in other parts of the world that could start boosting the vaccine supply and producing the vaccines necessary to immunize their population. So the issue before the WTO, the World Trade Organization, is whether the United States, the European Union, and the wealthy nations of the world are going to agree to this waiver. And presently, the wealthy nations of the world have opposed the waiver and are safeguarding the pharmaceutical companies' intellectual property rights over providing equitable, just distribution of the vaccine to all peoples across the world.
What do the pharmaceutical companies that have developed this vaccine using tax dollars, what would they lose by sharing the vaccine know-how? Do they think that they would lose the business of, you know, being able to sell vaccines to, say, South Africa, that, you know, if another company started doing it and getting paid to deliver vaccines? Is it just about profits? You know, because of course they can't produce all the vaccines needed all at once. So right now they are a bottleneck. Are they holding on to these vaccine patents because they worry about future profits they might miss out on?
I can't speak for the pharmaceutical industry, but I will say that to date, they have largely chosen not to engage with the World Health Organization. They've cited concerns that global initiatives would undermine their intellectual property rights and would disincentivize innovation. If you look at the three US-based drug manufacturers with approved COVID vaccines, Moderna, Pfizer, and Johnson & Johnson, none of these companies has committed to licensing their intellectual property to the World Health Organization for worldwide use, and nor have they facilitated technology transfers to other drug manufacturers. So Amnesty International is calling on the Biden administration to support these World Health Organization platforms and to place conditions on public funding for COVID products to ensure that pharmaceutical companies will share their innovations through these WHO platforms.
So let's talk about the campaign for a people's vaccine. Your organization, Amnesty International, is involved, so is Oxfam. Tell me about this initiative. I understand there's a petition as well that's part of it. I mean, what is this initiative calling for, and who is the, you know, a power holder, if you will. There's, of course, the World Trade Organization, but I imagine there's also the governments of the countries that the pharmaceutical companies are based in, like the United States.
Absolutely. So, Sonali, the People's Vaccine Alliance formed last year, and the name is a self descriptor. The purpose of the alliance, which includes Amnesty, Global Justice Now, Oxfam, Public Citizen, and several hundred other organizations around the world, has formed together to ensure that a COVID-19 vaccine is made available to all peoples around the world, with a special eye towards people in the global south, countries with lower incomes. You know, the ability to gain access to the COVID vaccine should not depend on the country you live in or how much money you earn. But practically speaking, that's what we're looking at in 2021. So the number one priority for the People's Vaccine Alliance is to get the World Trade Organization members to agree to this intellectual property waiver. And right now, it's a handful of countries that are standing in the way of that waiver being approved. It's the United States, the European Union, the UK, Japan, Canada. These are the wealthy nations of the world that have the resources to directly purchase sufficient vaccines to immunize their population several times over. And by the same token, these countries have an extra burden and responsibility to ensure that the vaccine is made available to all countries of the world.
It costs to do that, it doesn't cost the lives of the people or access to vaccines of the people in those rich countries. It simply costs the potential future profits of those pharmaceutical companies, who really don't deserve, and I'm just going to go out on a limb here and say, don't deserve those profits, because they didn't spend the money, they didn't risk their own money to develop the vaccines in the first place. This is an issue of life and death. These aren't, you know, optional medications that just improve one's quality of life. It's about life and death. And they didn't have to risk any of their money, but it seems as though the US and other governments are protecting the future profits of these countries in a way that doesn't even have to do with protecting the safety of, say, Americans.
Absolutely. And if we were just talking very narrowly about the safety of Americans, it is in Americans' interest to make sure that the rest of the world is immunized in all places as quickly as possible. This is one of these times where the global priority and Americans' priorities line up completely. So, you know, we are urging the Biden administration to continue supporting the World Health Organization. The Biden administration has undertaken a number of different initiatives that are most welcomed by Amnesty, including pledging $4 billion to the World Health Organization's COVAX pillar. This is a critical initiative that the Trump administration had declined to engage in. But the real issue that is before the Biden administration today, this week, is whether or not they will continue to block this intellectual property waiver under consideration at the World Trade Organization. The World Trade Organization members tend to operate by consensus. So if the United States continues to oppose the waiver, the World Trade Organization is not going to approve the waiver. And we cannot afford to dilly-dally. As you've said, a couple months, that's going to result in many more lives lost. And the world is already, you know, paid an incredible cost and toll, right, due to this pandemic over the past year.
And it's very likely that most of the United States' population will be vaccinated by the end of this year. But in other countries, we're looking at several years. What about the fact that there are other vaccines that have been developed? India has its vaccine developed by, I believe, a company called Bharat Biotech, called the Covaxin. And then China's vaccine, Sinopharm or Sinovac, by its company. You know, these vaccines have not yet finished, I understand, all of their third stage clinical trials yet. But I think India's vaccine has shown to be at least 81% effective in clinical trials. Is it possible for these large countries in the global south who have had the capacity to develop vaccines to share their vaccine know-how?
You know, I don't know. I can't speak to other countries in terms of, you know, where they are in their vaccine supply. India is the leader, along with South Africa, for this intellectual property at the World Trade Organization. So clearly the Indian government sees that based on its current vaccine manufacturing supply, that it's not going to be sufficient for their population. This is a time when the world cannot afford to do plan A, and then if that fails, plan B, and right. if that fails, go to plan C. We have to be full steam ahead, full throttle on all initiatives. And so that's why the World Trade Organization intellectual property waiver has to be lifted, so that the know-how, the technology, the patents can be shared with drug manufacturers around the world, so that they can start to manufacture their own supply and to get those shots into the arms of the people throughout.
Now, in a piece that you just wrote, you point out that of the three companies whose COVID-19 vaccines have been authorized for emergency use in the United States, only Moderna has made a commitment to forego enforcing its patents against those producing vaccines to combat the pandemic. Tell me about that. And is that an opening that, even without necessarily going through the World Trade Organization, that countries where there is the ability, you know, where there are factories capable of producing these vaccines, could take the Moderna know-how?
I mean, certainly it's a bright development on the part of Moderna, and we would urge the Pfizer and Johnson to follow suit. I think the question remains, like, whether or not that's going to be adequate to meet the need.
Just one company? You need all the three major companies to share the know-how, you're saying?
Exactly.
And of course, I'm wondering if the fact that the Johnson & Johnson vaccine that has been approved for emergency authorization here in the United States is one that's most attractive, considering that it doesn't require the special refrigeration that the other two mRNA vaccines require, and that it's a one-dose vaccine, making distribution so much easier. This one vaccine in particular seems like it is much more within the grasp of a country, you know, that sees several-year wait time for vaccination.
Yes, I mean, you know, I think all eyes have been on the Johnson & Johnson vaccine for a long time, even here in the United States, exactly for the reasons that you mentioned. And, you know, in the Global South, there are additional impediments that create issues in terms of vaccine distribution. As you mentioned, the extremely cold temperatures required for some of the vaccines, the transportation, the disbursement, logistics involved. So, you know, Amnesty International is urging all three companies, all U.S. Based drug manufacturers, to follow the example set by Moderna.
If the three companies do temporarily suspend their patents, what would be the next step? How fast could countries in the Global South that are really struggling, how fast could they have vaccines be mobilized? Because the situation is extremely dire. I mean, I'm looking at Brazil in particular, which is one of the hardest hit nations in the world.
So, one thing to clarify, even if the three U.S. drug manufacturers were to lift, you know, their restrictions, that would not suffice, because the intellectual property system is very complicated. Hmm. There are U.S. domestic laws, there are international intellectual property laws, which is why the World Trade Organization waiver is so critical.
I see.
So it's absolutely essential that the WTO waiver be approved, so that that block can be lifted, and so that manufacturers can proceed with developing and manufacturing the vaccines as needed.
Has there been any indication that you can tell from the Biden administration toward, not objecting to this WTO waiver request? I mean, we know that Biden sees the importance in a disaster to take the right step. Here in the United States, he has invoked the Defense Production Act to force Merck to produce the Johnson & Johnson vaccine and force Johnson & Johnson to share its know-how with Merck. So, you know, this was a step that the Trump administration wasn't willing to take. So Biden clearly knows that in a dire situation, it is important for governments to step in. I'm wondering if you think that there is any willingness or openness on the World Trade Organization front that you might be seeing from the Biden administration.
The Biden administration has been silent on this issue thus far. So, you know, although Biden has only been in office for, you know, about
less than
almost
2 months,
his administration has continued the position of the Trump administration, which was to oppose the waiver. That's why this week at the World Trade Organization, it's such a critical time, because many advocates in the People's Vaccine Alliance and elsewhere are looking to see if there's going to be a change in the U.S. position. Amnesty International has been lobbying European governments intensively, as well as the U.S. and Canada, to reverse course. But clearly, the U.S. is the leader here. And so other countries are going to be closely watching to see what the Biden administration elects to do. Thus far, we have not heard anything from the Biden administration to indicate a change in their position.
And I'm wondering if part of it is just that there isn't that much news coverage here in the United States and enough public awareness of the international perspective on the vaccine and vaccine access. I mean, Americans are overwhelmed with what we are experiencing ourselves. And at the same time, as you've said several times now, what happens outside our borders does affect us, because the longer the virus circulates in other countries, the more dangerous variants can develop. And eventually those variants, whether we like it or not, will come to the United States. Is there a petition or anything, any way for Americans to pressure the Biden administration to take this people's vaccine approach to the World Trade Organization and take it seriously?
Yes, absolutely. And Amnesty International has a petition on our website. I would invite you to go to www.amnesty.org, where you can learn about how to take action to urge the Biden administration and other wealthy nations of the world to approve the proposed intellectual property waiver under consideration at the World Trade Organization. And share this with your friends and neighbors and colleagues in other countries as well, because this is a global imperative that has to be addressed both here at home as well as around the world.
Well, we'll certainly post a link to that from our website as well. Well, Joanna, I want to thank you so much for joining us. I understand that there's also a peoplesvaccine.org website where people can learn more about this idea, and there's a video that they can share.
Absolutely. That's a great resource as well. And, you know, this is an issue that we are constantly learning about, right? I mean, all of us are learning about the COVID virus, the COVID vaccine, in real time. And we encourage everyone to educate yourself. We understand how people are overwhelmed here because the US has been so hard hit. But what's different between what's happening here versus the rest of the world is that we are beginning to see the light at the end of the tunnel. And for other parts of the world, there is no light at the end of the tunnel. And there won't be if the present situation continues. So it is very much before us, and it is doable and it is attainable for the Biden administration, the US, to help lead the way to ensure that the COVID vaccines that are going to keep us safe here at home can also get into the arms of all people around the world.
Joanna, I want to thank you so much for joining us today. Again, that website is peoplesvaccine.org. Thanks so much, Joanne.
Thank you, Sonali. Wonderful to be with you.
My guest has been Joanne Lin. She directs Amnesty International USA's Advocacy and Government Affairs Department. And we've been discussing the idea of a people's vaccine and a vote in the World Trade Organization this week around suspending vaccine patents. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter. Find our audio podcast on iTunes and Spotify.